Welcome to the Internet Report, where we uncover what's working and what's breaking on the internet and why. There was a very significant outage with a major CDN provider, Fastly, earlier today. So we wanted to unpack that outage and show our listeners and our viewers how that unfolded for many of Fastly's customers. And so to talk about all this, I'm joined today by Hans Ashlock, who is part of our technology and innovation team. And so we're really excited to drill down into what we were able to observe from the Thousand Eyes standpoint. So welcome, Hans.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great. So I know, you know, it's interesting. We were talking about this earlier. You have a, kind of like your own application that you have set up, you know, and it's used to kind of demonstrate how applications are often kind of composed. And so you can kind of look at different pieces of it. And you actually use a couple of CDN providers to deliver this application. One of them is Fastly and the other is Cloudflare. And so in your own sort of application that you've put together, you can see that you were impacted by this outage earlier today.
Yeah, that's right. We have a sort of a cloud native demo app that we put together. Serendipitously, what we wanted to showcase, actually, we just did a webinar this morning on how to optimize app performance across network and app dev teams. And we wanted to deploy sort of a more real world application. And for us, that means that your app is actually more than just that sort of, you know, that Kubernetes cluster or your what in edge compute parlance, the origin, right? It's much more than the app that you have running in GCP or your data center, but it is that and then all of these externalities that it depends right on DNS. And you know, we talk about that all the time in Thousand Eyes, that's what we live and breathe. But right, we wanted to put together a demo app that actually used the edge and depended on the edge. And so this demo app actually is fronted by both CDN and Fastly. So
or Cloudflare and Fastly.
I'm sorry, Cloudflare and Fastly, yeah. Yeah. So we were able to catch this outage, and it was a pretty good example of why it's so critical to have outside in visibility, not just to your app, but you know, to your app application edge and all the dependent services.
Right. So why don't we pull that up and take a look? And as you're doing that, just to refresh our viewers, the Fastly outage that happened this morning, it started around 9:50 UTC. So that's 5:50 a.m. Eastern time. So fairly early from the standpoint of North American users, but would have had a pretty significant impact to both EMEA. You know, this was taking place during this really kind of the morning or midday for them, but also for early evening users in Asia Pac. So started around, you know, again, 9:50 UTC, and lasted approximately an hour until about 10:50 UTC. And we can see that here, you know, almost immediately on the screen that you see a dip in availability as Hans is showing right now.
Yeah, so what we're looking at is three of our tests that we have set up simultaneously. We're kind of layering them over. So that's why this dip is not too deep, but we're targeting our app as it is hosted on Fastly. And then we're targeting our app origin, which is hosted in GCP running on Kubernetes. And then we're targeting our application as it's hosted on Cloudflare. So it's pretty obvious when we switch between those views that this is, you know, clearly a Fastly issue, right? So, you know, that's pretty obvious. I'll jump to the Fastly test so we can take a look at this a little bit more deeply. So I just want to use this to kind of get a sense of the, a little bit of the breadth and scope and depth of the outage, because, you know, as it turns out for this demo app, there's no backup plan. So we caught the whole outage. Whereas I think some of the other examples we'll look at, we'll talk through some of the interesting examples of how to mitigate these kind of issues. But definitely having a multi-CDN architecture approach is one of the good ways to do that. So if we just zoom in a little bit to see some of these times, and this is all in UTC. So, so the first period that we saw anything hit was around 9:50 UTC, and we're starting to see, that's when we first started seeing some errors. I don't think that we saw any errors in page load anytime. Yeah, so it's right around that time. 9:50 is about the earliest that we saw anything. And those first errors that we saw, so 9:50:07, the first errors that we saw were connection timed out errors.
Right.
And connection refused. So that tells us that the this is probably a pretty significant outage. And then I think up till around 10:37, so just under an hour, it was pretty significant and started to improve at that point and started clearing up around 10:52, and then we saw some residual issues. This may be related to cache refreshes and that sort of thing, but that's kind of the.
But basically maps to what Fastly reported in terms of around the time that the outage began. And they first did a status update on that, or status sort of notification on this, I think around 9:58 UTC. And then roughly an hour later, they said that they had implemented the fix, and, they have a very large CDN network. So, in some instances that may have taken longer to propagate through all of their nodes. And so, there was a little bit of a kind of a tail, like lingering effect in some of the views that we saw, but for the most part, it tracks to what Fastly reported.
Yeah. And we were running transaction tests actually at the same time. Transaction tests are ThousandEyes, synthetic tests that are, actually doing user actions on websites and that kind of thing. And so when you jump in and you look at the waterfall, I think some of these have screenshots. So the ones that are failing out, we can see what most people would have seen, which is just that fun, 503 error screen there. So, that it vary what people are seeing, whether they can't connect or if they are connecting. And that's one of the things that's maybe a little bit misleading. Sometimes it seems like you're getting a connection, the page is loading, but when it's, in terms of performance, what it's loading is an error page that's telling you that the service is unavailable.
Right.
So, one thing I wanted to do is drill down into this a little bit to sort of get a sense of what's kind of the internal severity of the error. And this is sort of just an academic exercise. We see a variety of outages. And in fact, we were looking at a small Cloudflare outage that was regional in the UK region just a while back, which was really just, it looked like it was just like server overload issues. So page load times and HTTP server response times were really high, but there were no, connection errors and some of these, internal server errors. So when we see something like an internal server error, that tells us that the server at the POP edge, at the cloud edge, is actually responding. It can do something.
Right.
Now 500 means that, there's a server sort of downstream or upstream or whatever way you're measuring that is not able to fulfill that request. But the server at the very edge can at least let you know that there's a problem with the system. And what I think is interesting about this outage is, as we kind of drill down, you can look at the page load, we see, a lot of page load issues. We drill down to the HTTP server level, we're seeing a lot of connection refused, 503 responses, 500 responses. Even when we drill down into the network view, we can actually see that corresponding to the outage is quite a bit of network loss, which is interesting because we already know that this is not really a network issue. So, this is actually an interesting aspect to some of these edge outages and cloud outages, in that if you look at the path visualization, what you're going to see is some nodes that have quite a bit of forwarding loss. So 91% forwarding loss. Let's look at a different one here that might have a little more of these. You know, a bunch of 100% forwarding loss here, 95% forwarding loss here, network loss here. So the question is this a network issue? Well, anyone that has been using ThousandEyes for a while and is kind of doing advanced troubleshooting with ThousandEyes, especially with the path visualization view, knows that, you know, typically when you see forwarding loss in the path, that means that, you know, that router or the upstream router is dropping packets. But when you see forwarding loss in the very last node right before your target node, so this is the server that we're targeting that DNS has responded with, this 151.101, there's a good chance that the reason that the error is showing up here is that this node was not able to forward this request onto this node. And it's highly likely that it's because this node is just not able to process and service that request. Right. So the significance of that is that it gives us a little sense of like sort of the depth of what was going on within the Fastly infrastructure, in that, you know, this was not just sort of a whatever was happening propagated all the way out to the very bleeding edge of those POP servers.
Right. So traffic really wasn't able, you know, the requests really were not able to make it beyond the far edge node. And I think if you look at the headers that we see, even there in that 503, if we were to open up the headers, the response that we're getting from the server. I mean, one interesting thing here, if we're looking at the Fastly debug path, we can see that, you know, this particular vantage point, which is in Paris, is connecting to a Fastly node. You know, we see the airport code, Charles de Gaulle. Yep. We know that node is in Paris, but it's not, you know, we only see one node that it's hitting. It's not getting forwarded on to any other node within Fastly's network. That's effectively where the response is coming from. And so, you know, this is all effectively kind of terminating, if you will, at an application level, really at the edge.
Yeah, in theory, I mean, you're going to see at least, you should, if you turn on, so what this Fastly debug, as part of their developer resources, as a user, you can turn that on. And if we back up a few steps here and look at the headers, when before we see the outage, we don't see those headers. So,
and also just an interesting thing to note there, if you go back to the previous view when it was available, you can see that, you know, and you've set up this application, you can see that the index file, you know, kind of the root object is set to not store, right? And so what that means is that Fastly basically needs to pull that from the origin with every user request. And so it should hit the edge server, and then it should go further than that. It shouldn't be served by that edge node that you're hitting. It needs to go to, you know, it needs to be forwarded to some node within Fastly's network that's going to request it from origin.
It needs to at least go back and query the origin to see, at the very least. I think private, no, yeah, I'm not going to get a cache control.
So clearly yes, it wasn't able to do that. It wasn't able to do that, you know, when we move forward and there's an issue.
So this is, you're right. So this is interesting. And typically, you know, what is the depth of Fastly's cache network? You know, I think you typically see at least two nodes there, maybe more before, you know, it pushes out to sort of the other side of the edge toward the origin. So this just confirms.
They have more of a hierarchical back, like, architecture, right?
Yes.
That's what, you know, you're kind of speaking to.
Yeah. So, this just kind of confirms that, that really this was felt at the edge of the edge.
Right. I like that. The edge of the edge.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. So we kind of see, you know, like just where within its kind of service this is taking place and where we're seeing the problem. And of course, we also saw that it was global. This wasn't kind of reserved for a particular area. Whatever happened, and they said this was a configuration issue, this was, you know, something that affected everything.
So
likely, you know, it wasn't like, you know, you had servers that were blowing up anywhere. This was really kind of an application level problem that impacted their service or their service globally.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, as you mentioned, you know, you're using just that one CDN for that particular URL that you're targeting. We saw very different manifestations of the outage depending on the Fastly customers. So, and how they had kind of architected their application or their service delivery. Some were using Fastly exclusively, some were using Fastly plus some combination of other CDNs. And that, along with, you know, some of their own mitigation efforts, meant that they actually were impacted very differently. We can certainly take a look at.
Yeah, we can jump to that. I think this is a good example of, you know, what a CDN edge outage look like when you have no remediation plan.
Right. So it's sort of that valley of unavailability and user despair. So let's maybe take a look at some examples of very well-known sites and how they were impacted as a result of this outage. Here we're looking at what we saw in terms of the availability of Reddit during the outage. So we're testing at about 10-minute intervals. You know, we can see here that between 9:50 or around 9:50 here, we start to see a very large portion of users starting to get these 500 or these 502 errors, right? So this is kind of the onset from the standpoint of Reddit users. And then, you know, it continues to spread and sort of at its peak, or, you know, in terms of availability at its lowest point, we see that there's, you know, these service unavailable errors, you know, again, impacting users globally. And these global users are not connecting to centralized points, right? Because the whole point of the CDN is that they're highly distributed. So you're located out in Australia, you're going to be connecting to a Fastly server that's likely in Australia, right? So it's interesting here that we can see, for example, that we see a lot of red, but we also see some green. This is a little bit misleading, because if we were to look at that Hong Kong location here, so we can drill down into that. You know, it appears like, oh, okay, perhaps they're available. But if we look at the page load, I mean, it's interesting because we can see that even though, you know, this initial kind of root object, this index file, you know, first of all, it's taking forever to load. So we're getting a really, really high level of response time, you know, almost 3 seconds. And then, you know, we can see that subsequently we're getting that same error, you know, so effectively, even though, you know, it appeared, you know, because the server was responding that it was available, you know, with, or was responding with a 200 for the root object, it actually wasn't really able to load the page. So this was something that was for Fastly users, wherever they were located, you know, this was something that was going to impact them. And we can see that, you know, for example, here, you know, we can see a lot of throughput for Fastly. And then if we go to the next round, we see very different sort of view here. So this was a very interesting sort of example of a particular site, in this case Reddit, that was only using Fastly. And because of that, they had a very significant impact to their availability for the duration of the outage. And we can see here that, you know, it wasn't until 11 and even a little bit after that it didn't go back to 100% availability. And just to kind of confirm the fact that they're only being served from Fastly, we can see here, you know, that all of the nodes that they're hitting, these edge nodes, are belong to Fastly. So they're not using multiple CDNs. We can see just even from the IP addresses that they're all kind of in the same IP space. So that's very interesting. And that is very different from what we saw with the New York Times. So NewYorkTimes.com, they also use Fastly as their CDN provider and appear to also, similar to Reddit, use them as their sole provider. And we can see here again, you know, in the sort of the eye of the storm or in the middle of the outage, again, those same 503 service unavailable errors. Now, what's interesting about them is that we do actually see a little bit of a earlier, just slightly, just ever so slightly, you know, so about 40 minutes into the outage, we start to see that these errors are going away. And what's interesting about this is that, let's go just a little bit back in time. So we can see here this, you know, 151.101.132, you know, .0s, it's like a /22 prefix. You know, these belong to Fastly. And we can see that around, around 3:30 Pacific time, so this was 10:30 UTC, we start to see that they're now moving over their nodes to Google. This is likely where they have their origin content hosted. And then if we go to the next round, we see now even more users are connecting to Google. And as we keep moving forward, now we see that they've all been moved over to Google. So, you know, they were able to sort of recognize that their users weren't able to reach them. You know, now 40 minutes is a long time for an outage, right? This is not clearly not something that was being mitigated through any automation means. This was something where, you know, they clearly realized that Fastly was hard down and it wasn't something that was going to be remediated, you know, anytime soon, or it didn't seem so. So they started to move over the users to their origin. And then, you know, about 10 minutes later, that's when Fastly started to come back online. So that's a really interesting example of a provider uses one CDN who then is sort of kind of leveraging a manual mitigation to get past the outage. Now, for a lot of really large sites, most of them are not going to be using a single CDN for some of the same reasons that we looked at here. You know, even if you have a CDN provider that nearly all of the time they're available, and we know that's the case with Fastly, nobody's immune to outages and it's bound to happen eventually. So why not plan for that? So this is an interesting example. If we look here, this is Amazon. Now, if we start at the network layer and just kind of look at what edge each of the users are connecting to, we see quite a lot of diversity. So we see We've got some users connecting to CloudFront. So this is Amazon's own CDN provider. We've got some users connecting to, so definitely favoring Amazon in this particular round. But we also see other providers as well. Actually, they've already mitigated at this point. Let's go back in time.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. So when it started. So this is even earlier. So let's go back.
Yeah, I think you need to go back to at least 950.
Okay. So we've got like 956. So here we saw some of the similar behavior that you did on your own app, where it looked like there was some traffic loss. Now here we see Fastly. So they're certainly in the mix. We also see some CloudFront. We also see, for example,
can you group destination by network?
Yes. So we can go ahead and filter for that. So for example, let's look at Akamai. So they use Akamai, a major CDN provider. We look, we can see that these particular users are being served by Akamai. We can do the same thing and we can look and see you've got Fastly in there. And of course we have Amazon and their own CDN service CloudFront. So they've got, you know, multiple providers that they're using. Their DNS is their own DNS, Route 53, for this particular www.amazon.com. And DNS is a really nice way to load balance traffic across destinations. In this case, you know, they can use it to leverage or they can use it to load balance across multiple CDN providers. Now, what's interesting, if we just isolate to Fastly, we can see at some point, you know, this is about 20 minutes into the outage. So, okay, so we're at 10, you know, just after 10. We still see we've got one match there. And moving forward, 10:10. And it's about 10:20. I believe, yep, between 10:18 and 10:20 is when they effectively removed Fastly from you know, serving their content. And now we can see they're no longer any of the edge nodes. We still have Akamai and Amazon CloudFront in there. So, you know, this was roughly 30 minutes after the outage began. That also potentially looks like something that wasn't necessarily automated. We don't know, but you know, could have been something that was manual, or maybe they had some method of determining when they would switch over from a CDN provider. So they recovered faster than the New York Times.
And then is it likely, Angelique? I'm just that would be a case of modifying the DNS entries. Is it that?
Right. So they could certainly remove, you know, Fastly as a, you know, as part of like a DNS response, right? So when users request, you know, how do I get to www.amazon.com? Well, you know, they're using their own DNS service, and they're going to provide a response to the user. And when they provide that response, they could simply not give them an option, you know, not give them a Fastly IP address or, you know, a Fastly host name. And in that way, they can remove them, you know, from service effectively. You know, they're
Because
not pointing users to them anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I think in theory, if they are changing the resource that it's pointing to and not having to rely on some, you know, DNS caching issue that has to propagate, it should be, right, in theory, immediate. So it kind of makes me wonder what process they had to take.
Well, they would still need to, you know, because they also, their CDN or their DNS service is also highly distributed. So they need whatever change they would need to make, which is would need to be, you know, kind of pushed out globally. And so however long that took them to react, based on the fact that it took them 30 minutes, I don't know that it was necessarily automated, but I think they were likely using DNS as the mechanism to switch over, switch off of Fastly. And that's very different, for example, from eBay. They also use multiple providers. But what's really interesting here, and this is a little bit deceptive, because on the surface, if you just look at what we're seeing here, you can see that, you know, during the duration of the outage, here's like 950 and then going, you know, all the way to 1050, everything looks green. So why is that, right? What's interesting is that if we go down to path visualization, we can look and we can see that they basically, it appears that they're using Akamai, right? So Akamai, and if we look and just try to determine whether Fastly, no, we don't see any Fastly, right? So, you know, on the surface, it might look like eBay users completely, you know, were unimpacted by this outage. But actually, if we go up to the page load level, we see that that's not the case. So if we look, let's just take, for example, Chicago. If we go to the waterfall, one of the things that we can see here is that they're using Akamai as their effectively front door, right? So Akamai is serving their root object, serving the index.html text file, which is effectively the instructions on what needs to be loaded onto the page. But Fastly is serving a lot of the content that makes up this page. And so even though, you know, it appears that users were unimpacted, actually they were impacted in very much the same way as they did some of these other sites. And that sort of speaks to the need not just to understand how like a root object is loading, but also every single component, because very often they're being served from distributed sources and distributed or different CDNs. And in this case, you know, Fastly was one of them.
So that's actually a really interesting insight and an aspect of this outage, in particular for eBay. And it's something that I have seen elsewhere when looking into sort of edge-related issues. In fact, I saw something similar with an issue on Cloudflare, and really didn't end up having anything to do with Cloudflare, but we were looking at issues with application loading times. And as we drilled into the waterfall view, we saw the same thing, but it was related to a specific CDN called StackPath, which is related to serving up resources for websites. So they provide sort of a, you know, a built-in framework for all of essentially the code and all of the core objects that, you know, a modern responsive website need. And the idea is that, you know, it makes, you know, loading all of the core objects and essentially the core code of your site much faster. Well, what we saw is that those objects were taking a really long time to load. And we actually had tests set up to the StackPath CDN and saw a lot of issues there. So I think it's a great example of sort of where is the edge. You know, the edge is sort of the first thing that your end users hit when they're trying to access your application.
Right.
But there are other, you know, that this is yet another cloud external service that, you know, your modern application that is globally distributed depends on, and how the availability of those sites and resources impacts your application performance can really crop up in different ways.
Right. There are basically many different critical paths for an application. It could be that the critical path is between resources or workloads on the back end, or between application tiers, whether they're hosted locally or those are distributed. But also, you know, bear in mind that the critical path could be through the edge, you know, whether that's right, like first hitting DNS or hitting the initial kind of the tip of the spear edge or CDN provider, like in this case, it's Akamai, right? But then you have this other CDN provider and other resources that are hosted, you know, across these different services, and they are also in the critical path. And so if you don't factor them in, then you're really only looking at a slice of what contributes to user experience. And in this case, if you're just factoring in Akamai being up and responding, well, that doesn't tell you anything. In fact, you may get the false sense that your service is available when in fact it is not.
Yeah, and it's kind of, so we don't see this, but it's sort of double, it can be kind of, you know, doubly challenging to identify. So when you're looking at what they think of as sort of that outside edge, that front door, what drives variability in performance? It's where your users are connecting from and where that edge is, right? So it's the geo regions there. On the back end, when your core application, you know, your origin is leveraging external cloud API and SaaS services, like, you know, using Stripe for payment services, then the driving factor is where your app server is hosted. Where's the origin? Is it in, you know, is it, and what cloud is it in? Or that's going to really drive that. What's interesting about these, I guess we call them like site-related CDNs and external resources, is that it's where the front door CDN, if it's hosted on the CDN, right, is located, right, because it's actually going to be the path from, because it's the browser that's loading it. So actually, I think that would mean it's the end user, where the end user is, because in theory, this, the browser is the one making the request out to those resources. So
that's right. Yeah. And so in that case, from a mitigation standpoint, one way, a couple of options in terms of like steering users away from Fastly in this case to maybe another provider that also hosts those resources. One of them could be they could modify the you know, the index.html file to kind of point to a different resource. Or if they also control the DNS record for, in this case, we have like ebaystatic.com, that could, they mm-hmm. could point that to potentially another provider that again also hosts the same content.
Yeah.
So a couple of options there in terms of you know, making sure that Fastly is not impacting users. But a couple of lessons, you know, I guess, in terms of, you know, what listeners and viewers can take away is, you know, as we talked about the need to see, you know, not only at a network level, but an application level, and needing to be able to see to the edge and across the edge dependencies, as well as in the back end and all of those critical paths. But also, you know, as we can see here, if you have multiple providers, then you have potentially more mitigation possibilities available to you to do things like failover or, you know, kind of remove services that are not responding from, you know, from serving up your content. So redundancy is key to enable resiliency for your service, and you need to be able to see, obviously, all of these different points within your service in order to know if you need to leverage that if you don't have it, you know, available to you in an automated way. So lots to learn from this outage, but very interesting how same CDN provider, one outage, you know, many outcomes. So
lots of different ways that this manifests itself.
Absolutely. So that's our show this week. We hope that you found that helpful in understanding what happened earlier today. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, please do so. And if you do, we will send you a free t-shirt. So send us an email at internetreport@thousandeyes.com, letting us know that you've subscribed, and give us your address and your t-shirt size, and we'll get that sent out to you. So until next time.